AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Down to the wire in Iowa. At one of his final in-person campaign events before tomorrow's caucus, former President Trump.
One day from now, we're going to win. Iowa's first in the nation caucuses. We kept you first in the nation.
Trump far ahead in the final Des Moines Register poll. Nikki Haley in second place. Ron DeSantis, who spent more time in Iowa than nearly any other candidate, placing third. But he told ABC's This Week that he's got a better record on conservative issues.
I've delivered on 100% of my promises. Donald Trump obviously didn't build the wall, didn't drain the swamp, and didn't reduce the debt.
Dan Marburger, the Perry, Iowa high school principal, who authorities say put himself in harm's way to protect his students during a school shooting earlier this month, died today, according to his family. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds ordering flags to half staff. The Israel-Hamas war, now 100 days old, by far the longest and bloodiest and most destructive conflict between the bitter enemies. This is ABC News. Two civilians were killed in northern Israel today after an anti-tank missile fired from Lebanon hit their home in a town near the border. It raises new concerns of a second conflict erupting against the backdrop of the ongoing Israel-Hamas war. The deadly strike came on the 100th day of that conflict. Frederick X is proclaimed the new king of Denmark after his mother, Queen Margrethe II, abdicated. At 83, she's the first Danish monarch to voluntarily relinquish the throne after nearly 900 years. Television's biggest night is just hours away, with several of the year's hottest and funniest shows going head-to-head for the night's top prizes.
Leading the comedy pack, Ted Lasso, with 21 noms, up against The Bear, which cooked up 13 nominations. The big questions tonight, will Jeremy Allen White take out Coach Lasso for Best Actor in Comedy this time? And there are a lot of eyes on Quinta Brunson. She's up for Best Actress in a Comedy for Abbott Elementary, the show she created.
ABC's Zareen Shah, I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Public health experts say the spread of misinformation on social media is leading to a dangerous drop in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Mike Moan reports.
Surveys show the percentage of Americans who believe vaccines are unsafe has nearly doubled since 2021, as social media users falsely claim approved vaccines cause autism, cancer, and infertility. Dr. Monica Wang says these falsehoods spread faster than the truth, with damaging results.
This health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
Wang says social media algorithms are keeping users in so-called information silos, left to discern what is true. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says vaccination rates for Wisconsin school children slightly rebounded last year, but remain well below pre-pandemic levels. Studies show misinformation regarding the COVID-19 vaccine has cost the U.S. up to $300 million a day in healthcare and economic losses since 2021. It's also contributed to an estimated 300,000 preventable deaths of unvaccinated individuals. With COVID-19 cases still circulating, Wang says scientists can also use social media to create health content and regain the public's trust.
We as researchers can do a better job about communicating our science, and that means we start communicating our results and our processes in language that's easy and accessible for everyday people to understand.
Wang says social media users should look for health information from established medical institutions and avoid content making sensational medical claims. And she says, when in doubt, don't share information that lacks scientific credentials. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for today with highs between 5 and 10 above, but the wind chills 15 below or colder thanks to gusty west winds. In the overnight, a mostly cloudy sky, temperatures close to 10 below zero, the wind chills down around 25 below. It's 3 at our studios.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair. Fancy Brian Kelly, Calvin Butenhoff is on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Very excited to be joined by our special guests. Cassie Cherney is here from the Center for Animal Rehab, and she is joined by Magoo, the umbrella cockatoo. And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can check out Cassie and Magoo right now. He's sitting on her shoulder. Cassie, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for coming in and for bringing Magoo along.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Well, tell me, first of all, about the Center for Animal Rehab. What's the history? When did this start? You're right around the corner from us in downtown Waukesha. I had no idea you were even there until our Johnny Watermelon found you. And he's like, Jane, you have to go in there. It is the coolest place you have ever seen. And he's right.
Absolutely. Our founder, Lori, started this about 30 years ago because there's not really any good place, any good resources for bird care. So we're there to educate, to help take in animals that don't have a home or need someone to love and take care of them. So we're there for education as well, not just to rehome.
And very specifically for birds, right? You're very specifically handling larger birds, parrots and cockatoos, mm-hmm. and things like that.
We're doing anything from small finches to the big, large macaws. We also do small animals. We have guinea pigs. We had a hedgehog that we just adopted out.
Oh, really?
Gerbils. We've done reptiles. We had two leopard geckos last year. We had a bearded dragon as well. And we also do senior dogs. So that is part of our seniors rock. So we have some really cute senior dogs right now.
Is Magoo chewing on your hair? No.
Oh, the evil laugh means yes.
Oh,
the evil laugh means yes.
How many birds do you have right now? Because when I went through the other day, there seemed like you had like 30 of them.
We have 95.
95?
95, with 39 of them being budgies.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So not all of them are adoptable because of various possibly what health conditions and things like that. But you do try to rehome some of them. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, with so many things with pets in particular, I believe people really start out with the right intentions. Unfortunately, they don't always appreciate everything that is going to come with this particular pet. Mm-hmm. And with birds in particular, especially parrots and cockatoos, they live a really long time.
Absolutely. We're seeing a lot right now of our birds that are outliving their owners. So we have quite a few birds that are in their 40s or even 50s right now. Magoo was born in 1997, so he's in his mid-20s. We threw him a birthday party in the summer. But what? A lot of people will see these animals so nice and cute. They see them on the internet right now talking so cute, being so friendly, but they don't realize how much hard work they are. So, yeah, we have a retirement row of Amazons right now because they're all older men.
Bunch of older guys. Just a bunch of older guys hanging out. The other thing, too, I think that people need to appreciate, if you ever consider adopting a bird of this size, they need a big cage.
Big cage,
mm-hmm. right? These are 5 foot high.
Yep.
5 foot high by 3 feet wide, at least.
We have a couple that are over 6 feet tall right now. We want those bird wings to be able to spread out. We've got a couple birds right now that were in too small of a cage for years and years and years. We have Bubba, whose shoulders and elbows are frozen. She's a resident of ours. She's a blue and gold macaw. So she's on pain meds every day. And then we have one of my new little girls who is opening up, and I'm so happy for her. Her name is Gianna. I call her Gigi for short. She came in with 30% mobility in her wings.
Oh.
So it's something, she's just blossoming right now. We're getting her wings to stretch out. And, oh, it's such a pleasure to see her just open up, get healthier, get better, and everything like that.
If you have any questions for Cassie Cherney, please text them, or you can call at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. And if you want to get a good look at Maku, you can jump on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have them live in studio with us. What is it with the, why are these birds in particular able to talk? What is it about birds that gives them this ability as opposed to, I don't know, a rabbit?
I feel like it's their intelligence level. They are incredibly smart. Magoo just wants to tear everything, though. We've got an African gray that's a resident named Toby, and we have a big whiteboard above his cage of all everything that we think he can say. And we're in the 90s right now that we...
90 words, 90 phrases.
90 plus. And
wow.
He just keeps on plugging them along.
Now, are these like, are these phrases that are, do the birds know what they're saying, or is it just a repetition? I guess that's my, is it an application of a word, or is it just, I like saying hello, Magoo?
I think it's a little bit of each. We've got Pierre that's 43 years old. He has one word, and it's hi, 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 and hi. We've got other birds like Toby, where I swear he was a comedian in a past life. He is so smart, and that timing is just so spot on. They truly know certain things.
Yeah, I can. I've only been with Magoo for a couple minutes here, and he's definitely got a clear personality for sure. And it, you were talking beforehand about choosing Magoo amongst all the other birds, and you said there was a factor where you had to make sure there wasn't one that would swear. And that it seems like there's more than one you have an issue with that.
There's a few. We try and keep it to the minimum, and we always try and express those positive tones, those positive words, and that can really change it. Granted, sometimes those words never come out of their brains, but, you know, we can see a difference when we're more positive towards the birds and that encouraging, good boy, good girl,
sure.
Good job kind of
thing. It's the same kind of positive reinforcement you do with any pets.
Absolutely.
Essentially. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining the show. What do you want to say?
It disturbs me, the ignorance of humanity. And I thank you for what you're doing for these poor animals who end up in these terrible circumstances. And I just think, you know, people are not smart enough to understand what they're getting into. Plus, the thing is, I always have an issue when I adopt a pet. Is what am I going to do with it when I have to go away for something or I'm going to go on vacation for a week or two? Because a lot of pets, you can't just take to a daycare center or find someone to come in and take care of them. So that's also something people really need to consider when they take on an unusual pet like these.
Absolutely, Cindy. Thank you so much for calling. You're absolutely right. And I mean, you need to do that with any pets, a cat, a dog, anything that you might have.
I love dogs. I love dogs. I've always had one, but I haven't been in a situation in my life where I've been able to have one. And it's the second I did, I got one. But because I love dogs, I wasn't going to do that because I knew I wasn't going to be there every day to go and walk that dog.
Right. You have to think of what's in the best interest of the animal. You really do. Mm-hmm. You really do.
And part of the service we provide at CARE is boarding for birds. If you are taking a trip, we can be that place to take them in, watch them. We have volunteers that go in every single day. They get fresh food and water every single day.
Someone to interact with them?
Absolutely. So that's one service that we do provide.
Cassie Cherney is here from the Center for Animal Rehab, which is right around the corner from us here in downtown Waukesha. And she brought in Magoo, the umbrella cockatoo, talking about all the things that they do there and the rescue services that they offer. And like we said when we began, Cassie, I really do believe that most people start out with the right intentions. But especially with an animal like this and something that can live 50, 60, 70 years, that's a whole nother responsibility that you're taking on. That's a whole different thing. Brian's now. Magoo is not
that's
into
cool,
you.
Magoo.
Magoo is not into you, Brian Kelly.
He climbed on my arm. He's like, yeah, that's not the same. I'm not used to that. I don't necessarily like that.
I'm curious, Cassie, where did your interest in birds start and how did you come to this?
We got our first family bird when I was 6 years old, and it was a cockatiel. And then it grew to a budgie. And then my mother's former boss had a severe macaw that they were looking to get rid of, and he wasn't taking care of the best way. So that kind of rolled into, hey, you're the bird people now. So we took in another African gray that was a family friend's, and they couldn't take care of it. My former umbrella cockatoo, a guy bought her off of Craigslist, had her for a week, and realized he couldn't take care of her. And so a guy came knocking on our door saying, hey, do you want a free cockatoo?
Oh, wow.
And that kind of really opened up. And that's how I started volunteering with CARE. I was looking to board her, at kind of last minute, and Lori, our president, kind of opened those doors and said, we can house her here while you take your trip and everything. So it kind of really opened up, and I have not stopped helping since.
And you, this is all volunteer.
100% volunteer. We have about 40 volunteers right now. We're always looking for more. This job is never done. There is always cleaning to do, always interacting and kind of teaching these birds different things and getting them acclimated to people and handling
right.
and everything.
Like and that. I want to say when I was in there last week, when you go from cage to cage and they're all in their own individual spaces, they very much want interaction. I mean, the birds will come right over to where you are no matter what they're doing. They look at you with these intense little bird eyes and you can just hear the wheels clicking in their head. But it's obvious they really are hungry for that kind of interaction and that kind of attention. You can't just put them in a cage and leave them there and wave when you walk past.
Absolutely. They're definitely social birds. They're used to being in a large flock. So they want that interaction, whether it's from other birds or people or in my house, it's sometimes from the cat. But yeah, they love the interaction. Anything that we can do. Magoo adores head rubs.
Yeah, he just put his head under my hand like my cat or dog does.
Yep.
Pet me.
And that's what he does in his cage. He lures people in that way. He goes, look how pretty and innocent I am.
And then he takes a little snip.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with those beaks, boy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Magoo will still be here, so will Cassie when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt. And together, we're Mino and the Mayor on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
As our audience grows, we're looking to find an experienced outside marketing professional to join our civic media team to work with local business owners who want to grow.
Not only does WGBW reach qualified radio listeners, we help business owners reach customers on their mobile phones, tablets, even on screens at the gas pump.
The person who joins our team needs to be as motivated as we are to bring great local radio to Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. Someone with a creative streak and no fear of introducing themselves and us to the Green Bay business community.
If you're listening to us now, imagine how many others are and how we can help business owners reach the customers they want to do business with.
To apply, email me directly. My name is Chris Morrow, Vice President of Sales. My email address is chris.moreau@civicmedia.us. chris.moreau@civicmedia.us.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
At easterseals.com.
You're listening to the
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Fancy Brian Kelly, Calvin Butenhoff is on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Two very special guests in studio with us. That's Magoo, the Umbrella Cockatoo, and Cassie Cherney is here from the Center for Animal Rehab, which is located right here in beautiful downtown Waukesha. It's an animal rescue facility, especially for birds and larger birds. And we're just learning about all the things that they do. If you have a question or a text, 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Yeah, it makes me wonder that, given that our birds are just, the surviving, members of the dinosaurs, that I wonder if some of the dinosaurs in the past had, vocalizations that, complex speech patterns like our modern birds do. I mean, because, most birds have some kind of language. I mean, even your little average songbirds, I mean, they apparently have a wide range of vocalizations that are, sort of meaningless to us, but have, deep meaning for them. And parrots, of course, have, a wide range of vocalizations, and they more or less adapt, say things that are pleasing to us. And they're just, socializing with us, I guess, trying to communicate with us, by mimicking what we say to them.
Yeah, it's astonishing, Mark, and it's really astonishing when I was in the other day, and many of of your birds will talk and have many different phrases, and they just are looking for this interaction, this attention, this affection, and it's wonderful to see. Tell me, you said, Cassie, that obviously no organization like this can run without volunteers. Mm-hmm. So if someone is listening, I met a woman when I was in who drives all the way from Cedarburg. Wow. Because she loves it so much. That's she loves it so much. Mm-hmm. And so how can people get involved? What are the different things that they can do at the Center for Animal Rehab?
Yeah, absolutely. We have our website, centerforanimalrehab.org. We have volunteer applications on there. We will accept just about anything. We always, always, always need help. But with that, we are also nonprofit. So no one within our facility gets paid. We get no money from anyone but donors. We do make toys to sell. We have some used cages for sale. We do grooming once a month where we do bird nail trims and beak trims and wing trims.
Beak trimming is a thing?
It's terrifying.
Oh, my God.
I can imagine.
We do it.
Wow.
Yes. Not all birds need it. Some birds, their beaks may grow differently, or maybe they had an injury where they might need a little. Magoo sometimes has a little bit on his bottom beak. If you see his top beak kind of goes down at a slight angle, so the little spike on the bottom side. But if we give them plenty of wood, hard nuts to chew on, They can usually take care of it themselves.
That was the other thing that really impressed me when I stopped in last week was how much they love toys.
Absolutely.
There was one big parrot who had this multi-layered cardboard swingy thing, and it was obvious he loved this thing and was having so much fun with it. So they really do enjoy play.
Oh, Magoo loves it, and he finds different ways to play with the pieces that he's chewed off as well. Lori does a fantastic job of keeping him nice and busy in his cage, but some of his toys don't even last 24 hours in his cage it's destroyed.
It's like having a puppy.
Oh, absolutely.
Essentially. The other thing that folks should keep in mind, if you're ever considering getting a larger bird like this, I would highly suggest you go to the Center for Animal Rehab so you get a better understanding of just how loud they can be.
Very, very, very loud. And that's one reason why we get so many birds surrendered, is people living in apartments or condos or neighbors or roommates that cannot tolerate that sound, or even the children. So not all birds are extremely loud. Magoo has one of the loudest calls in our facility. He can get very loud, but then 2 seconds later, he does his sweet little innocent voice again. very extremely loud. And you can tell when they are all upset because they will all be running. I've noticed that our macaws do not like joggers past our windows. If you're walking, it's fine. Skateboarding, bicycling.
Anything. That's all good.
But if you're running, they don't like it.
And they let you know.
We all know when someone's running. I think it's a cross-country group that kind of goes past our building, and we all know when they're coming.
Cassie Cherney and Magoo, the Umbrella Cockatoo, are with us in the studio from the Center for Animal Rehab here in downtown Waukesha. I'm so grateful to have met you. I'm so grateful to have learned about you. Again, give us your website if people want to find out more wipe down cages. And really, if you're thinking about getting a bird like this, volunteer here first.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I got a question here. You were lighting up when you were talking about Gigi when she had a smaller cage and now is opening up and kind of broke. What have these birds done for you?
They've given me a little bit of purpose in life, to take care of something, to get them to a place where they can make someone else happy as well. One of my favorite birds right now is a guy who looks pretty similar to Magoo. He's another umbrella cockatoo. His name is Junior. He was my first pickup from a surrender. I want to say maybe 2-3 years ago. And he was in a very, very small cage. It was wrapped in a towel or a big blanket. It had a lock on there that they almost couldn't find the key for.
Oh.
He had one perch and a bowl of sunflower seeds at the bottom. And when I brought him back to our facility, he was so scared. He was not eating for a few days. He kind of stayed in one spot. He wasn't playing with toys. Opening it up now, he is such a happy guy. He plays with all sorts of toys. We get him out, and he will go to anyone. So we are just trying to find his forever home. We've got someone who's a little interested in him, so I'm not saying he's 100% available. He is just such a happy boy, and I am so proud of how far he's come.
Well, thank you for all the work you guys do at the Center for Animal Rehab. What a wonderful service you provide. And again, your website is
centerforanimalrehab.org. We are also on Facebook and Instagram. that wasn't a joke. I don't want to say my spare time because I barely have spare time, but I take a lot of pictures of the birds. So we're trying to get that out on our social medias so people can see how beautiful these birds are.
They truly are.
Where that mic is.
And he knows it's all about him. Thank you so very much for coming in. Really appreciate it. Cassie Cherney, Magoo, the Umbrella Cockatoo, joining us from the Center for Animal Rehab. The news is on the way next when we return. Tough act to follow when you're following an umbrella cockatoo. J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be joining us to talk things sports. This is Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Down to the wire in Iowa. At one of his final in-person campaign events before tomorrow's caucus, former President Trump.
One day from now, we're going to win. Iowa's first in the nation caucuses. We kept you first in the nation.
Trump far ahead in the final Des Moines Register poll. Nikki Haley in second place. Ron DeSantis, who spent more time in Iowa than nearly any other candidate, placing third. But he told ABC's This Week that he's got a better record on conservative issues.
I've delivered on 100% of my promises. Donald Trump obviously didn't build the wall, didn't drain the swamp, and didn't reduce the debt.
Dan Marburger, the Perry, Iowa high school principal, who authorities say put himself in harm's way to protect his students during a school shooting earlier this month, died today, according to his family. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds ordering flags to half-staff. The Israel-Hamas war, now 100 days old, by far the longest and bloodiest and most destructive conflict between the bitter enemies. This is ABC News.
Lesson learned for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have one of the best teams in the NBA this year, but recently they went through a slump, losing four of their last five games. They may have hit rock bottom when they lost to the Jazz at home. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game, you know, the threes that we were giving up. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
Then a few nights later, the Bucks turned things around, and they beat the top team in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics, by 33 points. Griffin on how to deal with a midseason slump.
You can't panic. You can't, you know, make excuses. You can't blame. You got to look at yourself in the mirror, and we did that. And, you know, from Giannis to Dame, Chris, Brooke, all those guys have been tremendous. Bobby Portis in our meetings. So, you know, we stick together.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for today with highs between 5 and 10 above, but the wind chills 15 below or colder thanks to gusty west winds. In the overnight, a mostly cloudy sky, temperatures close to 10 below zero, the wind chills down around 25 below. It's 3 at our studios.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Luke Mathers coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you so much for joining us. January is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, and yesterday marked National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. So our special guest is Dr. Debbie Lassiter. She's the CEO and co-founder of the Convergence Resource Center. It's a 20-year-old faith-based nonprofit helping female survivors of human trafficking. Dr. Lassiter, thank you so very much for joining the show today. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you guys so much for this opportunity.
It's a really horrible thing to have to talk about, but it exists, and it is a widespread problem, human trafficking.
Yes it is. We have been given kind of the moniker of being the Harvard of human trafficking because people come here from all over to learn how to traffic, but actually it is in every city, every state, every country, and it follows the largest events, and so it's all over.
So what, explain HEMED to me, if you would, please, because I know that's one of your group's signature things.
Yeah, that is really one of our signatures that we're very, very proud of. HEMED is Human Trafficking Educators with Men and Boys Standing Against the Demand. And so what we do is we educate men on what human trafficking actually is. Most of the time, men don't associate human trafficking as being a crime without some education because it has been so normalized in our society that we ignore it. When men go to a strip club or even women to a strip club, they don't think that the people that are performing on stage are doing it against their will. Many times they are. As a matter of fact, about 90% of our clients say to us they have been in every strip club in Wisconsin, forced to perform at all different ages. Some of them as young as 15, 16. Performing in strip clubs that grown men are in, but they're not looking at it thinking, oh, they don't want to be there. We have to educate men and the community to understand that human trafficking has to involve fraud, force, or coercion. Fraud, you understand because I lie to you. Force, you understand because I inflict physical pain on you. But coercion is tricky because I trick you into thinking that you wanted to do it. So you don't see it as a crime. Sure. You don't report it as a crime. And so that is it. And so what HEMED does is it allows men to take a visible stand against human trafficking. We have had over 60,000 men in 11 states and 3 countries to take a stand against human trafficking. And this past year, we had our very first HEMED bikers ride where motorcycle bikers from all over Wisconsin rode from Milwaukee to Madison, took the pledge and took a stand against human trafficking.
Well, that's hopeful. It's something. Dr. Yes. Debbie Lassiter is our guest. She is the CEO of the Convergence Resource Center, which works with female victims of human trafficking. I'm curious, Dr. Lassiter, when your educators talk to these groups of men, what is the biggest revelation for them? What are their responses when they're presented with this information that not everybody's doing this voluntarily?
Right. So part of the education is like about a 3 to 5 minute video that they watch that tells them what human trafficking is and how it manifests. And what we saw the first year we did it at this scale, men actually became emotional. Some of them even shed tears, because they realized that activities that they had participated in actually contributed to human trafficking, and they were devastated because they have daughters, they have wives, sisters, cousins, friends, and they had no idea.